Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the first Monday of the work week and the first Monday of May. It's May 2nd, 2016, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we welcome you to do so. If you would like to become a friend, check out our Facebook page. And we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off today features Bruce Ash. And now I can say that Bruce will be beginning his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He was elected to another term at the Republican statewide convention Saturday. Congratulations to you, Bruce.
Thank you. I'm honored to serve.
Paul Eckerstrom is here. Mr. Eckerstrom has been very active all his life in Democratic politics, former chair and of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. Paul, congratulations to your service on behalf of Democrats.
Yeah, thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe believes in wonderful political discourse, and we thank him for his support of this particular segment every Monday. And Moe is he's the guy to go to from all your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Paul, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. I was out walking for petitions for my fiance, former Senator Charlene Pescado, who's running for Justice of Peace on the west side of Tucson, and it was a beautiful weather. We're trying to get all those petitions in before the weather turns hot, that's for sure. But it was a beautiful day, a weekend to walk, and I enjoyed myself. We were kind of out in the desert area on the west side, and it was really beautiful. All the Palo Verde trees are all yellow right now.
So beautiful. Beautiful out there. And Bruce, you had a very busy weekend. I hope you did get some R&R on Sunday. I know Saturday was very busy.
I did, thank you. Did gardening yesterday. Phil Cedar, if you're listening, no, I was not gardening in the nude.
Oh,
yesterday was
Mayday was garden in the nude day.
That's what I heard. And,
yes,
and he actually called me out on a show, and of course I couldn't call in yesterday because I was lifting pots around the garden. But Phil, no nude gardening for Bruce Ash. Mm. Thank you. That'd be an awfully ugly sight.
Hey, Bruce, was the convention, the state convention, as disruptive as we've been led to believe? Threats of suits from the Trump people who say they got the shaft?
Well, look, up until about 4:15 or so, the convention was going along just swimmingly. Everybody was very happy. We had had the elections for the CD delegates, and we were voting for National Committeeman and Committeewoman. It took a while. You know, there were 700 people who wanted to be a national delegate. So when the CD elections were finished, we had to re-credential everybody for the at-large vote. And what they also had to do, pardon me, was to rejigger all of the ballots because there were both slates as well as individual people running who we had to take into account the CD elections and other people who said, you know, no, I don't want to run as an at-large delegate at all. So there were lots and lots of changes. They did all of that. We started the at-large election. And there were some issues with respect to the robustness of the Wi-Fi service in the convention center. I mean, they had a pretty robust system, but you know, when there's 1,300 people all using their cell phones or their tablets at the same time, things got very, very slow. But when the votes were tabulated, let me just clarify for you what happened. There were unity slates that included many of the same people on both slates, and actually there were three of them. There was a Cruz, there was a Trump, there was a Kasich unity slate. And what ended up happening was really three things. And I'll get to the third one.
Very quickly.
And I'm going to get to the third one first. And that was that the Cruz people outworked the Trump people.
Okay.
Because the Cruz people had great local intelligence and boots on the ground, and the Trump people didn't. But what also happened was, is that not everybody voted for the straight slates. And what they did was, if Bill was my friend, mm-hmm. they would drop somebody, mm-hmm. okay? And there were literally hundreds of people who got mm-hmm. one or two votes, you know, like that. And there was this problem, you know, that happened with Jan Brewer and, mm-hmm. and Luis Pellegrino. But that was a situation where Jan was just upset because she only got 93 votes. Pellegrino got like over 400 votes.
And the governor is not going to the convention as a delegate.
No, most of the statewide elected officials won't be there.
That's kind of kind of unusual.
Yeah, it is a little bit unusual. I look at it.
It's an unusual year.
Yeah, it's a very unusual year. Look at these caucuses to elect delegates sometimes get very strange. But, you know, in the Democratic side, we would break up into Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton rooms, and people who support him would elect delegates that would support Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. But they only get elected by state committeemen who are Bernie Sanders supporters, for example, if you're in the Bernie Sanders caucus. And the interesting thing is, we also use paper ballots. We don't trust those electronic machines, it's a little different with the Democrats because it's already apportioned how many delegates are going to go for Hillary or for Bernie, and then people just split up into their two different camps and elect delegates from their camps.
Of the drama is you're not going to have that kind of drama.
It's just a matter of who gets to go mm-hmm. as a delegate to the convention, but they're going to be either a Bernie Sanders supporter, and you know, you only get a couple of them for mm-hmm. Bernie, maybe three for Hillary in a particular congressional area or at large. It's all proportional. The other thing is that gets a little bit confusing is, all the delegates, my understanding on the Republican side, are supposed to vote on the first ballot for Trump because Arizona was a winner-take-all state, right?
Right, which they will.
And then after that...
So if it does go to a second ballot...
Right, if Trump doesn't make it to 1237, then it goes to a second ballot. And Cruz has been doing this all over the country, not just in Arizona, where he's getting his delegates in...
Lined up for a second ballot.
For a second ballot. So they have to vote for Trump that first ballot, but after that, they can vote for whoever they want. And I think if they stop Cruz on the first ballot, mm-hmm. Trump on the first ballot, the Cruz is going to be the nominee.
Look, let me tell you, I think a common sense solution, if somebody thinks that there's a problem with what we currently do. We already pretty much know there's not going to be a presidential preference election in 2020 because the legislature is not going to fund it and the state parties aren't going to put out $5 million each to put it on. So let's say we go to a caucus system, and I'm not necessarily suggesting that we do that, but this would work either in a caucus system or as a state convention system. If you're electing delegates to the national convention, let's say in a congressional district, then there should be a slate. When you vote for people, it's going to be, you know, Eckerstrom, Buckmaster, mm-hmm. and Ash. And they're going to know that all three of those individuals are going to vote for candidate mm-hmm. A mm-hmm. at the national convention. No question about it. And you're deciding between these three or you know, two other, you know, similar slates, and what you get is what you voted for.
And that's a good thing. Before we went to the presidential preference, at least on the Democratic side, that's the way we did it. You had to sign up to be a delegate before the caucus day to be a delegate for, let's say, Ted Kennedy in 1980 versus Jimmy Carter. And you'd run as a Kennedy delegate, Kennedy would win a certain percentage of the statewide vote, let's say 51%. So he gets 50% of the delegates. And then what they would do is the top vote getters of his delegation of people who ran as delegates would get it down to 50% of the delegates, and then the same thing over on the Carter side. They would just take the top
so
delegate.
So it's a proportional. Yeah. It's essentially.
But it would be a slate of delegates right. that you're actually voting
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing in California for mm-hmm. the first time as well. They're doing it in Indiana and so on in the congressional delegation races, and that takes away some of this fear that people have that they're being cheated. Nobody's being cheated. In this election. And the obligation that delegates have at the National Convention is to vote for the winner-take-all candidate here in Arizona on the first ballot. There is no assumed or presumed expectation of anything other. We don't know what the situation is going to be on the convention floor if we get to a second vote.
Yes.
So, to say that, for example, I'm obligated on the first ballot, okay? Will I vote for Trump on the second ballot? If there is one, it kind of depends on what's going on at that moment. I'm not going to say today, Trump forever or no, I'm going to go for Cruz. I want to see what the situation is. I want to know what's good for Arizona. I want to know what the rest of my delegation is thinking as well.
Yeah.
When will they decide, the Republicans, on who the Rules Committee chairman will be for the convention? I know you are the Republican Rules Committee chairman right now.
The standing committee chairman,
The standing. But there will be a convention Rules Committee
chairman. Yeah, there'll be an announcement sometime probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks or so.
And whether or not you'll be that person?
Well, the chairman of the RNC will make that decision. And in the meantime, though, I plan to seek a position as the male side of a male-female team from Arizona because I think I have the best overall knowledge and intelligence of what's going on with the rules. And certainly I have stuck up for Arizona voters and Republican voters from all over the country for many years now.
Who was the other committee person elected?
Oh, great question. So there was a three-way race. Lori Klein Corbin, former state senator from up in Maricopa County, one-term senator. And then Ray Trenenke, who was the immediate past president of the NFRW, that's the National Federation of Republican Women. And Lynn London, who's been a very committed, very active Republican activist for some period of time.
And the winner is?
It went to two ballots, and Lynn London was eliminated on the first ballot, and Lori Klein Corbin won on the second ballot, 52 roughly to 48. So it was a very winner. We had three great candidates. There was no bad ones to choose from.
All right, we'll be right back. It is our Monday Political Face-Off, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk with the head of the Pima Council on Aging, plus Alex Molusky, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Buckmaster airs live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is our Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with me. The face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Fine framing indeed. I'll tell you, they do all of my framing. They do all of Bruce Ash's framing. And Paul Eckerstrom will be taking framing when he gets it together over to Moe at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at Moe'sGallery.com.
I've done it before. So.
No, you do. You've got some stuff lined up, you told me. All right. Rick has been waiting on the live line at 790-2040. I believe it is our friend Rick Grinnell. Hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you all?
Very good.
Dandy.
Good. I understand the Republican Party and Democratic Party structure to a certain degree, but you have to keep in mind that the average people or the average voter, number one, has a hard time turning out to vote, let alone trying to understand the dynamics of the various parties, of the two parties and how they operate, not only we have 50 independent Democratic parties and 50 independent Republican parties.
Actually, 56.
Thank you. I forgot about all the add-ons. But regardless of that, very few people understand how the dynamics of the parties operate within each state. And when people hear the, excuse the expression, but the games being played by Cruz or Trump or Kasich or whomever, or Bernie and Hillary, however that's played, people feel like they haven't been listened to, whether it's on the first ballot or second ballot. And my hope would be that both parties would come to some kind of national understanding of how to do these things so that people can better understand. Mm-hmm. As it is, people feel disenfranchised.
I think it's
and
a good point.
It doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it real. And to encourage people to join one party or the other party, I think rules have to be very clear so that when they...
Rick, the rules are pretty clear in the Republican Party. There's 42 rules. The delegate selection plans, the delegates... One second, Rick. Let me finish. The delegate selection plan for the Republican Party was submitted on October 1st, 2015. The Trump campaign has had all of that period of time to study them and to understand exactly how they work. But they went a different route. They lacked understanding, Rick. They lacked understanding to know that it's not just the vote that counts. It's how the delegates are selected. And one campaign chose to learn that, and they've done very well within the rules that each state and territorial party play. And the other one wants to say that they've been, somehow disenfranchised. And that's just not the case at all.
But here's my point. You're missing my whole point here. When we go out and do voter registration drives, we don't explain to people the rules and the operation of the Republican or Democratic parties.
Yeah, he's right.
We ask people to vote.
Yeah, Rick,
they don't understand. People don't understand the Constitution either, Rick, but they still vote.
Rick's making a point. I think maybe someday we can get to a point where we already have primaries that elect and nominate people in each party that's running for Congress, for example, and then they go to a general election, and it's a direct vote from the people. And I think that actually makes more sense, that we actually do those primaries for nominating a president
I could not disagree with you anymore.
I think that
you're
makes
basically
sense.
Talking about a national primary,
yeah.
which is just the worst possible idea that could be.
I don't think it would shorten the election cycle.
And there's no reason why we should there's no reason whatsoever that the period of time should be shortened to either save money or to make it simpler for people. Look, there's 56 separate contests that each party has. This is the most important job in the entire universe, as far as I know, Paul. And
that's why the people should choose them.
And we vet our candidates. We watch them rise and fall. We see them stutter. We see them accelerate forward. We see them tripping and falling sometimes. These are exactly the sorts of things that are going to happen to them if they become president of the United States. Let me just go, and this is not a knock on Donald Trump. If Donald Trump doesn't know how to operate within the politics of his own party, of our party, the Republican Party, how in the hell is he going to operate with the U.S. Senate, with the U.S. House, with the U.S. Supreme Court, and God forbid with Vladimir Putin or Prime Minister Xi in China? These are complex things. If you can't get it right in your own party, why would I trust you? Why would I trust you to operate as president of the United States?
My point wasn't to talk about rules of each party, and my point wasn't to, take sides for Donald Trump or anything. What I'm saying is we could structure maybe regional primaries, an actual vote for a Democrat or a Republican or a Green or a Libertarian nominees through a primary system where different states maybe stagger their votes during the year or so, but then they accumulate a certain amount of votes each primary that goes or regional primary, maybe five states go at a time, and they accumulate votes, and whoever has the most votes directly from the people is the nominee. I think that would make it more democratic. It would probably shorten our long election cycles for president down a bit, which would be good, and make it less expensive too, I think, in the long run. I know, Bruce doesn't like the idea. And there's a lot of people in my party that don't like that.
The rules chairman of your party would never agree to that. And I'll tell you what, there are 56 separate state party chairman or territorial chairman for each party in the United States.
Yeah, and they have their own vested interests. I understand
they have
that.
They have been talking about this.
I don't think it's good for the country, though.
They've been talking about this since the turn of the last century. They've had the Iowa plan. They've had the Ohio plan. They've had the Delaware plan. There's been a ton of different plans. But you get 56 state party chairmen and then governors and then state legislatures all together. They don't want to know from that plan that's easy and simple and straightforward.
I just like to be on the side of democracy where people actually choose our president. I think that's the best thing to do.
It is.
That's all.
Politics ain't beanbag, Paul. You know that as well as anybody else. And this is democracy because state legislatures, governors, and state party chairmen all weigh into this.
Hey, question. I'm a lawyer. I like more complex rules. It makes me relevant because then I can look at rules and figure them out and have an advantage over somebody else. I just think it should be simplified.
I got the best idea.
Direct vote nominates.
I got the best idea of all.
What's that?
In 2020. Bruce Ash ought to figure out who the president of the United States is going to be for the Democratic Party.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Less than a minute, and Carl would like to go on the air. Hey, Carl, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and I'm just speaking as a low-level voter that's not a party insider, and I'm really concerned about the fact that we've got the primary spread all over the way they do, because effectively the last 10 states that have primaries really have no say in who's going to be running for president.
They all had a choice as to when they would hold their primaries. And California has literally had no say in a presidential campaign probably since 1968. And the Democratic State Assembly refuses to make any changes whatsoever. It was the case again here in 2016. And these are some of these, Carl, have to do with traditions in a state. Some of them have to do with timing of primaries for the statewide and other federal elections that'll take place in the fall. And that's how some of these things get put together. It's not just about, you know, the presidential election.
California would be relevant under my plan. That's okay. For sure.
All right. That's going to do it. Paul and Bruce, thank you very much. I hope both of you have a great week. Okay. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Of course, they are on Facebook. Check them out for all of your framing needs. Thank you, Moe, for your support of the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham is coming up after our mid-session break here on Buckmaster. Certainly lots to talk about with the general. We continue to live in a very dangerous world. We will talk about some of the hot spots right after this.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show this first Monday of May. I love doing this radio show, and I also love telling our listeners about the fine sponsors that we have, like Green Things. Been going to Green Things for years. Buy all my roses there. They do so well because they grow them. They begin their life at Green Things, and then when you bring them home, they are ready. They're ready for you. 3384 East River Road, Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. Once a month on this program, we are always honored to have General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, and it's especially appropriate in May because, May is Military Appreciation Month. General John Wickham was United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. He served over 40 years in the United States Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley. He joins us on the live line. General Wickham, I understand you have been on the road. You're traveling.
Yes, we have been. We're in Nashville, in a horrendous rainstorm, but glad to be on the way back. We visited family and glad to be on your wonderful program, which does such a valuable service for the citizens that listen and call in.
Did you say you're in Nashville?
Yes.
Wow. Have you noticed, General, the infrastructure as you've been traveling our interstates and roadways? We're in desperate need of some changes.
Amen, Bill. And you know, the tragedy is, Bill, we have not changed the gasoline tax, federal gasoline tax, for almost 25 years. And the Congress, particularly the GOP part of it, refuses to spend enough money to upgrade our roads and bridges when we could be borrowing money at a pittance and putting hundreds of thousands of people to work fixing our roads with safety and better commerce. I've never seen the roads in worse condition than they are now. Yes, there is work here and there, but we're not doing right by America. We really need better enlightened leadership that is going to look to the future of this country instead of looking to getting reelected.
All right, let's go right to the live line. Matthew has a very good question for you, General Wickham, right off the top of the show. Go ahead, Matthew.
Matthew always has good questions.
He does. Go ahead, Matthew.
I appreciate that. General, as you know, it was something I've been predicting for over, since going back to my time as an officer in Operation Joint Endeavor, was that women will be serving the military in more and more roles, and now I always predicted that at some point we will cross that line where they will also register for the draft as they've taken on more roles. That has now come to pass in a committee, the House Armed Services Committee, under Representative Duncan did put that measure forward under the Draft Daughters Act. Very little attention has been paid to it, to my surprise. He was surprised, I think, that Martha McSally also voted yes on it. I think he brought it up for other reasons to bring his concerns about opening up all the positions to women, combat arms. I was hoping you'd discuss that. And second, as we approach this time, the president alludes to the fact that his staff is leaving him during the recent dinner, and that's true. More and more of the B and C teams are taking over all of government, and this is exactly the vulnerability we had even following the election of George Bush, where he still didn't have his A team up and running, and we had almost 6 months of the B team from the end of the last president. We have never addressed this, but the national security of this country during this period of election in the last 6 months of the last president and the first 6 months of the new president, we are very, very vulnerable, and it's a very complex world.
All right. Thank you, Matthew. Two-part question for you. First, on our women registering for the draft, General Wickham.
Well, I've always been good questions, Matt, as always. I've always been a strong supporter of equal opportunity for minorities and for women in the military. And when I was head of the Army, I opened up a number of positions, occupational specialties for women, including aviation. And now, of course, they've opened up to combat, and that's great. I've got a granddaughter who was a military police first lieutenant and doing very well, rated the best lieutenant in the battalion, as a matter of fact. So I'm all for this. I think it's the right way to go now. If they're going to be in combat roles, as they are now with infantry, then they ought to be able to be drafted. We haven't drafted anybody for 30 years, and I doubt that we will. But it's appropriate to go through that procedural process. Now, on the other point, you raised a very significant one towards the end of the administration, the B team. But actually, the A team is still there. The president is very much in command. Look at John Kerry has been sent over now to try to resurrect a truce in Syria. Kerry is worth his weight in gold as a leader in his own right to foreign affairs. And I think the president is very assertive on doing the right things. And I think he's got the team to do that. But you're right. There's not part of the difficulty, Matthew, you know it better than anybody, is the Congress. Principally, the other party has been resisting doing a lot of the smart things. We complained about the VA, not good enough, not big enough, not taking care of veterans. Guess what? The Congress has not paid the bill. They haven't walked the talk of building the VA, as the VA has asked for more doctors and nurses and modernization of facilities. The Congress has not done it.
All right.
General,
I want to go right to Richard. Go ahead, Richard is on the live line at 790-2040. Richard, you're with General John Wickham.
Yes, General, this is kind of a tough question, but, you know, I heard you talking about our infrastructure suffering because of Congress, but has not our military budget over the last 20 years been so gigantic, so huge, that it has, in a de facto way, drained us of our infrastructure money?
Okay.
You're exactly right. And that's why I've been a big believer. Now that these two wars, the wars which we've just finished, have cost America $4 trillion. That's
wow.
Key. And it's all been on the credit card, the first time we've ever done it. That's not what Obama wanted. He wanted to build some taxes to do that, but the GOP has refused to do it. I don't want to get into the politics here, but there's a negativity in Congress that has really thwarted a lot of the smart moves. And you're exactly right. We poured a lot of money into the military and the building of our infrastructure, schools and roads, and the building of the future of America has suffered. And we need to start putting money into that, even if it involves a little more taxes. But guess what? The GOP has a mantra: no new taxes, whether it's good for America or not. I think we need to turn that around if we're going to be smart about it. But you're right. Infrastructure is suffering, and medical support is suffering. The suicide rate is the worst in America and its history in the military and then civil life. And one reason is because we're not doing enough in the way of medical research to deal with issues that lead to suicide and or to build facilities that can care for people that need it.
All right. We're going to talk about North Korea when we come back with General John Wickham, 790-2040. General Wickham, stay with us. He is on the live line from Nashville. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Memorial Day weekend quickly approaching. That means the big, it's their 21st annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival. Bikes in like motorcycles or regular bicycles. Everything bikes going on over there on Memorial Day. They have Taj Mahal Trio as the headliner, along with the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. This has turned into one of the big blues festivals in the United States, and it's just 3 hours east of Tucson to a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. We're so honored to have Silver City as one of our longtime sponsors. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and all the others, and the many things to do by visiting their fine website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. General John Wickham is with us, and General Wickham is very, very up to date on what's going on over in Korea. He spent a lot of time over there as Commander-in-Chief of the South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces. And the latest news, General Wickham, as you know, is North Korea is promising to halt all nuclear tests if we, the United States, will stop our future combined readiness exercises that I know you headed up quite a few of these over there during your time in Korea.
Yes, you're exactly right, Bill. These major exercises every year involve 20,000 to 30,000 U.S. forces moving into South Korea, working with the South Koreans, planning the defense of South Korea, and it's an essential part of our readiness training. The North Koreans have regarded that exercise process as preparations for an invasion of North Korea. You can understand the attitude there, given the historic background of Korea that's been invaded from Japan and from Russia and China over centuries. So there is paranoia there. And so this attitude is having nuclear weapons is crucial to solving their paranoia. And that's why I don't believe the North Koreans can be persuaded ever to give up the nuclear weapons. But I do think we can manage the situation and get them under control so that the technology does not migrate into the wrong hands. And that's where we need to work and get the six-party people together. Now, the North Koreans have promised we'll stop nuclear testing if you'll stop these exercises. I think that's a useless argument, and President Obama has rejected it, and rightly so. We shouldn't be pushed into a corner by the North Koreans. But having said that, I do think in the future we could get by with doing these exercises maybe every other year, and surely we knew it should continue to invite the North Koreans to send military observers, which is a tradition around the world, to see that exercises don't offer any threat. I did that when I was a commander. The Chinese came to me privately and said, this is a gangbusters idea. And I said, well, let's get the North Koreans to do it. The North Koreans refused. And they will probably refuse in the future. But I think we could continue to push that envelope, and I think we got to do pushing the envelope. We got to get the six-party talks started again. It's a dangerous place. North Korea's got probably 40 nuclear weapons, size of the ones we used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they've got the makings of 40 more. So, and the South Koreans and the Japanese legislators are beginning to say maybe the time has arrived for us to have nuclear weapons. We don't need proliferation. That's why I think the Iran nuclear deal was such a smart move, despite some GOP efforts to undermine it and destroy it, which I think would be wrong. that nuclear deal could be used as a basis for negotiating something with the North Koreans that is beneficial for world security.
How much of a threat, realistically, is North Korea, General Wickham?
It's not a threat to the United States. It has the weapons. I doubt that they'd ever use them. They've claimed that they have launched a ballistic missile from a submarine, which means that they could move their submarines near the west coast of the United States as a threat. They'd never use the weapons because they realize the retribution would leave North Korea a marketplace of disaster. So I don't, but they will threaten, and I don't think they'd use them on South Korea either. You know, the distance between the demilitarized zone in Korea and downtown Seoul is the same distance from Davis Monthan to Oro Valley.
Wow.
It's only 20 miles.
It's around
the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
Where your home is, Bill. I mean, it's just the distance from there down to the airport.
Yeah.
So it's a threat to South Korea. Seoul, the city of Seoul, is as big as Los Angeles. Subways, beautiful city, wonderful economic. You know, it's one of the real success stories of American foreign policy and military policy with South Korea. It is a giant economic country, and it is a democracy in Asia, democracy almost as good as our own.
Well, why does China stick around as far as really North Korea's only ally? Isn't that correct? Ally in the whole world. Yeah.
That's right. And I've been to China half a dozen times, talked to the prime minister and the president and the military people about that. And guess what? The Chinese say that, yes, North Korea is an ally, but the North Koreans do not listen to anybody. They don't take advice. So even though we, the Chinese, had suggested do this or do that, the North Koreans thumb their nose at them. So they're going to continue to do that. I think the good news is on these economic sanctions that the Security Council of the United Nations have just passed are the most severe ever on North Korea. The Chinese and the Russians have signed up for those tough sanctions. So both of those countries are anxious to keep North Korea under some kind of control, and that's beneficial, I think, for world security. China, of course, needs North Korea to remain within its envelope of influence. It does not want North Korea to be another South Korea dominated by the United States. So China is going to insist that North Korea remain a communist nation oriented towards China. And I think Russia will have the same attitude.
We have 250 military advisors going over to Syria, I believe. We'll be working in the battle against ISIS. When people hear military advisors, they think of the early days of Vietnam.
You're right, Bill. It's a slippery slope. Once you start sending 200 here, 200 there, pretty soon you're into thousands. I don't think that's the case here. I think the president's a policy on Syria is exactly right. We do not need to get ourselves involved in another Middle Eastern war for the cost of $1 trillion and thousands of lives, a war that we cannot win, a war that has been going on for centuries, and that they in the Middle East must solve themselves, and like we're doing with this effort to get a truce and negotiations in Geneva for Syria. So I think that the advisors that we're sending over there basically are designed, number one, to keep our foot in the door of negotiations, to show that we are serious about getting some positive results, and we're going to help those that are moving in the right direction. But we're not going to get involved in taking over the war. I think we've learned our lesson that we should have learned in Vietnam, that you're better to have the indigenous, the locals, solve their own problems rather than for the United States to step in and say, step aside, locals, we're going to show you how to win the war. And we don't. But look what happened to Iraq. Look what's going on in Afghanistan. We've got to recognize there's a limit to what we can do.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to let you go. You've got a big road trip ahead of you, Nashville back to your lovely home in Oro Valley. I hope you take it easy and don't try. You said there's a terrible rainstorm right now that you're facing there in Tennessee.
Oh, it's been terrible over here. You're suffering from some of it, too.
Well, please, General Wickham, take care of yourself, and we'll look forward to your visit with us in June. Thank you, sir.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks for your great program.
All right, thank you very much. General John Wickham with us. General Wickham, 42 years in the United States Army, and we're talking a little bit about Vietnam. Boy, talk about a guy who was highly decorated Vietnam veteran. Boy, some of the stories that he has about when he was wounded multiple times in one battle, he insisted he would be the last person medevaced out until his troops had all been taken care of. I mean, amazing career that he had in the United States Army. All right, that's going to wrap it up for our Monday edition. We do 5 hours of local talk daily here on KVOI, and some of it's still to come today. An hour of it from 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw. The show is called For Tucson at 4. Ray Allen produces and engineers that show as well, and he and Mike Shaw put that thing together. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. With a different guest host. So we're all here on KVOI, Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, live streaming at kvoi.com and my website, buckmastershow.com. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.